Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at PrepperNet.com.
The ultimate wood-burning, collapsible survival and camping stove? Stop looking. The Under 6 Elite Survival Stove by SurvivalStoveWorks.com can cook a meal in under 6 minutes with just a few twigs and sticks and without all the smoke and black soot. The Under 6 Elite weighs under 6 pounds and can be assembled in under 1 minute. This survival stove is made in the USA by patriots and preppers like you with high-quality steel. The Under 6 Elite Stove with all the extras is also easy to store and transport in its own carrying case. It's on sale now with free shipping. See it in action and get yours now at SurvivalStoveWorks.com. That's SurvivalStoveWorks.com.
You've just joined the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. The views and opinions expressed are strictly those of the host or their guests. Visit us in the interactive chat room at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
Good evening, everyone. If you're a prepper, you're in the right place at the right time. This is the Prepping Academy. Skirting the globe through miles of fiber optic cable at nearly the speed of light directly to you, with your hosts, Forrest and Kyle. Coming to you from the Queen City, Charlotte, North Carolina, the information you get from the show could save your life. Whether you're a veteran, beginning prepper, or just curious, there is something here meant for you.
Hey guys, welcome to the Prepping Academy. I'm Forrest, and there is no Kyle tonight. We don't know what's going on with Kyle. Just pray for him. So I do have a special guest with us tonight. He's been on before. You got me out of a tight situation where Kyle couldn't make it one night.
Yeah.
And his name is Tenderfoot. That's right. Tenderfoot. Ladies, just calm down. Tenderfoot. I'm glad I don't have a nickname, because it would have to be more manly than Tenderfoot.
It's my AT name, Appalachian Trail name.
Appalachian Trail. So did you get a bunch of blisters or something? Or
I got one.
One?
One, and everybody gave me a hard time.
Oh, so that's how you got Tenderfoot.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be something like Mad Dog Max or something like that. I don't know. Something manly. Killer.
There you go.
So, hey guys, if you are listening to us live right now on Blog Talk Radio, jump over to Prepper Broadcasting. You can listen to us there on Prepper Broadcasting, and you can join our chat room, and you can actually talk to us through the chat room. I got it running live right now. Got several friends in there. Got Joe Face in there. Got Michael in there. Several people that I know. So you can just switch on over. If you're joining us by a podcast, don't bother. We won't be in the chat room if you're listening to it by a podcast. So one of the things I do want to mention, though, is one of our sponsors is Sawyer Products. And we were just talking because you just got back from China.
Yes.
And a couple of people got sick.
Yes.
And I said, did you have your Sawyer filter?
And you did,
but you didn't use it the whole time.
I
mean, why? I mean, you're assuming that this bottled water you're getting in China has actually been filtered. And I'm telling you, you can't assume that.
Everything's from China.
I know, but yes. So water, Sawyer Products, they make water filters. They make a product that I was using today. I sprayed it on my tent and my camping gear because if bugs, mosquitoes, ticks crawl on it, it'll zap them. It'll kill them. I mean, I'm talking like months after you put this on there. The military uses it. It's a great product. But I was doing, I had my tin up and I was putting all that on today. So, but anyway, hey, everybody knows Sawyer water filters. Hey, if you don't like to drink so much spit, then use Sawyer, not the Life Straw. So anyway, you have to share. I mean, imagine if you're cooking and you have to use the Life Straw.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to suck the water up and then squirt it, spit it in a pan.
That's the only way to do it.
Unless you had the family. So, hey, anyway, tonight we got Tenderfoot here. We're going to be talking about hurricane. You know, the disasters happened down in Texas. And, you know, there's a lot of planning that can take place. And the East Coast is realizing that, hey, a hurricane in Texas can affect us in North Carolina. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But Travis, just tell me how your week was, man. Hey, welcome back. The last time you just kind of walked in the middle of the show,
I remember. Right.
Yeah. So welcome back. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay.
That's enough. Yeah. Thank you, Travis. Now go ahead, Travis.
I do not even know where to start. I have a military background. I was in the Navy as a hospital corpsman. I think I mentioned that last time. And served with Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Also served with the Air Wing. And other than that, once I got out of the military, I went into ministry.
Oh, you're one of them.
Yeah.
You told me last weekend you went. Was it this weekend or last weekend? You went to Raleigh and married someone.
Last weekend.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that every other weekend.
There you go.
Yeah, I went online. I got my certificate. No, I'm kidding.
I got mine the hard way.
Well, okay, so you got a military background. How long have you been in the survival/preparedness?
I guess I started doing the survival stuff even before I went in the military. Mm-hmm. That was one of the reasons I went in. I did the JROTC stuff in high school.
Right.
And I used to read the field books and everything. But I didn't call it prepping,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
it's a way of life.
Yeah, it was just a way of life doing stuff and life experiences just made sense.
Well, I can tell you this. I do know Travis outside of this radio show, apparently.
Yeah.
When we go to church together.
Right.
And we went to prepper camp last year together. And it's like your whole family was there. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, people have families that do this?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of interesting that your family is on board.
They are.
And their address is. No.
Yeah, and we do a little bit of homesteading and stuff too. So that's something I've. That's another skill
to
add to it.
Yep. Well, tonight we're going to talk about hurricanes. Have you ever been in a hurricane?
I have.
Hurricane?
And I've actually been in a hurricane in the middle of the ocean. So.
I've been in a hurricane in the middle of the ocean,
but
not on a boat.
Yeah.
In a C-130.
Okay.
Yeah,
you were there. I was
at a Biloxi. I was. I went down to school down there, but I'll let you go first. Go ahead. Tell us about your experience in a hurricane.
Well, I mean, I'm from North Carolina. I'm from Eastern North Carolina. So, I guess every hurricane since the early 80s to now. So you name it.
Well, I was in the Air Force in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and the path was Hugo was supposed to go straight through Fayetteville, North Carolina. We packed up all the C-130s, sent them out, and they said, y'all get out of here. Go somewhere. Or if you had to stay on base, they actually had like shelters to go to. I mean, the military is all structured. So I came to Charlotte thinking I'm going to be safe in Charlotte. Well, I remember going. I just told a story tonight, actually. We had friends over. I remember during the middle of the hurricane, I walked outside and I saw stars. I saw stars in the sky. Because I was in the eye of the storm. And look at Hugo and the eye came right up through Charlotte. I was living off of Albemarle Road, English Hill Apartments. I remember all this stuff.
Wow.
And we walked outside and there were like dumpsters moved, trees down. And then all of a sudden, all heck broke loose again. And we went back inside. But I got out of the way of it and ended up right in the direct path. So I was in the eye of the storm.
Yeah. And that's pretty deep. You know, mm-hmm. they went far in North Carolina.
That was pretty cool. So we got some. So we're coming at you with hurricane experience.
Yeah. Talking chains and everything. You know,
so like, wait, you were actually on a boat in a hurricane?
I was on an aircraft carrier.
Gosh, then the thing that still has to go up and down and just
make it does.
Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. They have to secure. They take as many as they can into the hangar, and then they secure the rest with chains up on top. And I was a flight deck corpsman. I was actually in at that point. Still had to be up at the flight deck in the tower,
mm-hmm.
the island, and so I'm in there. And you're just hearing it and feeling it, and you're looking at everything through the camera,
right?
On TV.
Huh. So, well, that'd have been weird. I would not want to be on the aircraft carrier. I guess there's never been an aircraft carrier that's ever sunk without bombs. I mean, it's so big. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think a wave could knock one over.
They allegedly they're made to roll. And
what
the scary part? Yeah, they're made. I don't know, man. This is what I always heard, right? Mm. The island would break off, and then it would roll back over.
Oh, so you would die because you
because I was in there. Yeah, so that was reassuring. I'm sure it was probably
okay. That's weird.
Yes, I don't know.
Yes. So again, we're going to talk about hurricanes, and so it's pretty cool because you put a list together because we didn't coordinate this at all. That's how prepared we are. That's how we do things. But we are prepared. You prepared and I prepared, and we don't know
what we prepared.
What each other prepared. So one of the first things I was going to say is this.
Okay.
And I told you this before. Okay, the people in Texas. We've prayed for them. We've donated. People. For Katrina and Sandy, the people knew 7 days before it hit them that it was coming. Now, the people in Texas, they still knew a few days before. I mean, if one is coming, I put down hurricane coming, leave.
Yeah.
seriously.
Yeah.
If I told you, hey, next Thursday a tornado is going to hit your house, what would you do? Would you stay in your house? No.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand the people staying. I know they want to stay. It's their house, their belongings, but they're putting their belongings above their own safety, which bugs me. And they put other people's lives in danger. There are people being rescued. Now, I'm not talking about the people in Houston, Texas, because they didn't really know it was going to be that bad there. I'm talking about people on the coastline. They knew it was coming. They put other people's life in danger by staying.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take a quick break.
Has your data been hacked? Do you feel uneasy about the vulnerability of your personal information online? Were you involved in the Target, LinkedIn, or Microsoft data leaks? Don't know? If not, then pay attention. Join Forrest Garvin from PrepperNet for a free webinar on privacy and security. Gain insights into safe internet browsing, VPNs, crafting online aliases, secure emails, detecting if your data has been hacked, and managing passwords. Secure your spot today for this webinar on privacy and security. It's free. This webinar delves into comprehensive strategies for bolstering your online privacy. We've got you covered, from fortifying your passwords to shielding your financial information and mastering state-of-the-art encryption techniques. We're offering two convenient dates to suit your schedule. Reserve your spot now at preppernet.com/privacy. Don't let cyber threats erode your peace of mind any longer. Take the first step toward a safer, more secure online experience by joining us for our free webinar. Remember, knowledge is power when it comes to safeguarding your privacy. Sign up now at preppernet.com/privacy. We'll see you there.
Yeah, I don't know what each state or each city, even county or whatever, deemed for that. I know... North Carolina, like the Outer Banks, I mean, when they evacuate, you have to evacuate. I don't think you have the option.
Right.
to stay put. Wilmington, you have that option. I don't think they...
Even if it's mandatory or not, just go.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah. I mean, when I lived in Wilmington, we would stay. And we called the hurricane party.
Yeah, you're one of the guys. Mm-hmm. One of them.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's my first rule of hurricanes.
Yeah. But I also did disaster relief. I helped out. So, one of the reasons I would stay is, you know, for that. We would get to a safe... We had a safe shelter or whatever.
Gotcha. So what I did, and I'm not sure what you did on your list, I just put together some things to talk about. One of them is plan. I mean, I've always told everyone they need a family plan or a personal plan. No matter what happens, you need to have a plan. I mean, if it's like bugging out, I mean, bugging out could be the grandma's house, you know, 400 miles from you. It doesn't have to be your bug out bag and tent and sleeping in the woods. That'd been a bad place to bug out,
right?
For a hurricane, and you go to Houston at a campground. That would not be good.
Right.
But you got the plan ahead, and that's for every disaster. You can plan ahead.
Yeah, and you've got to have a plan B. You know, not just that, because I think that some of the things that happened is they did have a plan. Some did move, and then they had to get to a plan B, and they didn't have that.
Right,
and then, so that's you gotta put the groundwork in to do that.
So I have friends in Houston, and I told you the story right before the show that they put up a vote as their family put up a vote if they were to stay in their house or to leave their house, and they let the kids vote as well, and they ended up staying. And of course, the guy on Facebook post that was probably a bad decision to listen to the kids, but they stayed, and their house got flooded about 4 feet of water.
Wow.
But they had time, and they almost made the right decision by leaving. But I mean, he just felt that but 4 feet of, I mean, you know, you just don't die in 4 feet of water and you got a two-story house.
No, but that is damaging.
Yeah.
You know, with the disaster relief we did, I mean, you got to come in and you're going to have to rip everything out.
Right. Yep.
So.
But anyway, they had time. But so my number one thing is you got to have a plan. You got to have not only a plan, you got to know your neighbors. Because imagine the people that stayed. I mean, are their neighbors okay? You got to be able to check. And there's responsibility if you stay.
Yeah.
Now, and if you're okay, you've got to go. I mean, and Texas has stepped up. I mean, everyone's helping everyone.
Yeah, it's been pretty impressive.
And
yeah.
And one of the things that people don't do, though, and I thought about this, is you need to have a list of all your neighbors, their phone number, or a way to contact them.
Yeah.
Because imagine, hey, if you're in a shelter and you know Bob stayed back, call Bob and say, hey, Bob, what's our house doing? Because that's what everybody's fear. What's our house doing? And they don't know. Or, hey, Bob stayed back. Here's his number. You might need to go get him. So information is vital in a time of disaster.
Yeah. And I mean, you just want to look out, literally look out for your neighbors, and they look out for you. You can't just be solo at all.
Okay, you know, and I'm not here to criticize, but yet I am.
Okay.
These grandmothers were in a retirement home, sitting in chairs, crocheting, with water up to their chest. Did you see that?
I saw that picture, but I never investigated to see if it was real or what.
Oh, it was real.
All you saw was the picture. I never saw an article with it.
So if you're a family member of these people, if you live near that area, people should be put in jail for allowing that to happen and not checking on that. How could you let that happen to, if you live down the street or if your mother is in there, how can you not be calling and asking her? They had no idea. No one knew until one of the grandmothers, someone started posting it on social media.
Yeah.
I'm like, and it's up to their chest. Why didn't, well, first of all, why didn't the grandmas do it when it was their ankles? You know what I mean? Did it rise that fast? I don't know. It just makes me mad. There's a lot of poor planning. I mean, elephant in the room, Texas gets hurricanes.
Yeah.
So does the East Coast.
Yeah.
People should have plans. Yeah. Plain and simple. Yeah. That home should have had a plan. The EMS system, the fire station, they know where areas are prone to flood more or quicker.
Yeah, the flood zones, yeah.
They should have known. I mean, there's a lot of positive people helping out, but you got to step back and go, wait a second. Okay, yeah, the government's helping in. FEMA's doing a better job. They're not handing out coffee now. They're handing out blankets and food and stuff. But there's some failures that have happened.
Yeah. I was here and listening to a whole thing about the whole floodplain situation and, like, why do we allow people to live mm-hmm. in these certain flood areas, and because of the insurance and how the government is, and because of the vast growth, that was one of the reasons. But it seems like there's not plans in place in some cases, in some areas, adequate planning, and then there's not cross communication.
Right.
So let's say, okay, the police force may be prepared. I don't know, but another organization's not, and there has to be that communication.
So I think a lesson learned over 200 years: don't let the government do the planning for you.
Yeah.
Don't let the police department or the fire department do it yourself in your own neighborhood.
Yeah. And I think you're seeing that in Texas. I think where a lot of people stepped up and they were prepared.
Oh yeah, some of them were, absolutely. But I just can't imagine that some of the places that were flooded. Okay, then they moved people to a shelter, and then that shelter got flooded. Okay, are there experts to be able to go, hey, the flood water is here right now, and it's still raining. I'm calculating in 18 hours, it's going to rise another 3 feet, which means that one's going to be flooding.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that already thought through? And, I mean, because – how crazy is that? They were up at the bleachers to get out of the in this shelter number two.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying that there's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it stands to reason too that even if you're okay, let's say Houston, a lot of the area flooded, and a lot of times shelters are what churches, mm-hmm. stadiums, especially in Texas, schools. But those areas can be flooded just as easily as a house or anything else.
Well, maybe they don't have different elevations like we do in Charlotte. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it starts flooding in Charlotte, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Why? Because 100 yards behind me and to an angle is a floodplain.
Yeah.
Now, it would have to go – I mean, it would be a lot of water, but there's a lot of water in Texas right now.
Yeah.
But – there's no reason to stay. I put my elevation's 570 feet above sea level.
Wow.
That's all. Where do you know what yours is?
No, I was just thinking. I've been 13,000.
Oh. 570 feet. But there's places around me that is 350. And
yeah.
So, but anyway. So that's one of the things. The other thing I wanted to step, and then I'll let you go, is, there are checklists to put together a plan. The Red Cross has one. Also, ready.gov has one. Don't use them. Do not use ready.gov. I'm just telling you. I'm not anti-government. Don't use that checklist. Don't use the Red Cross's checklist. Go to a prepper website and use their checklist.
I didn't know where you were going that way.
But I'm serious. Because the government, ready.gov, have 3 days worth of food.
Yep.
If you're stuck in a house in Texas right now, and you decided not to be evacuated, you better have more than 3 days worth of food.
Yeah, and that's what they'll say on the news too. The weatherman will usually say, hey, have a bag. At least they're saying that.
Yeah, they are saying
that,
the bag. I've heard that, yep.
But, they tell you to have so many days worth. But even with that, that was one of the things I was going to bring up, is you've got to consider waterproofing. I think some of these people didn't consider that. Mm-hmm. So you're there. It's going to get flooded. Is that something that you're thinking about as well? Even if you've evacuated, you've got all the proper – you've taken the proper steps. You've got a place for you to go back – to go to, bug out to. But you're going to have to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your home.
Right.
It's not like it's complete devastation. You're never going to be able to return. So you've got to have preparations for your preps. You know,
right.
And you've got to be ready for whatever may be when you leave to come back to.
Right.
And especially in, you know, situations like this.
Right. I know in the East Coast, North Carolina was being flooded, and my sister had to be evacuated, mandatory evacuation. And they took all their furniture, everything they owned, and put it on the second floor. And just crammed it in the second floor. Not that that is, I mean, it seems like that would be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But I lived in some of these houses, as the water's in there, they just must not, some of these houses must not have, they just must have been shocked that they were flooded, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I would have taken, you know, stuff and put it up, and I'm seeing, I mean, a jet ski come in the front door and rescue someone and then go out.
Right. Yeah. Now, I don't have
a second floor?
Yeah, I don't have a second floor.
Oh, you're going to die.
Yeah. I mean, I do have an attic. You know, I can get some things up there, but I would just.
Well, they say don't go in the attic because you can get trapped up there.
No. I'm not saying go up there.
Okay.
You're talking about you put some
stuff up there. Yeah.
You want to go to
high attitude. But anyway.
Yeah.
So checklist, do not do ready.gov. Go to a prepper website, read some articles on hurricane bug out bags, hurricane plans, and follow them.
Right.
Yeah. So, and because you're going to need more than 3 days worth, you're going to need other items that they don't even think about.
Yeah. And it is good to think, you know, I think some guys, you know, we only think the biggest things ever, that's what we're preparing for or whatever. But you got to think about everyday scenario situations. So, you know, we do live Hurricane Alley, like you said. It will reach to Charlotte. You know, other things to prepare for. I know we talked about that. You know, you don't know if you're going to lose your job tomorrow or whatever.
Right.
There's things to prepare for. But then again, you know, is all that redundancy. Okay, well, I've done that. Okay, let's say I've lost my job. I got enough food to get me until I get another job. Oh, but a hurricane's coming too. You've got to be ready after, you know, prepared for different situations.
And so a lot of people go, well, that affected Texas, a little bit of the Louisiana and Alabama when it hit land again. But you know what? It's affecting us in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
That tornado, that hurricane is.
Yeah.
Why? Because I went to get gas and there is no premium or mid-grade gas at any of the stations. They've actually shut down them pipelines and some of the nozzles were bagged up saying no gas. Why? Because we get our gas from Texas and the Gulf of Mexico. On the East Coast, so North Carolina, the South Carolina, the Georgia, there's a small shortage of gas. So what does that mean for me in Charlotte, North Carolina? Well, if they don't get the refineries back up running, there's going to be a major gas shortage coming.
Right.
Because they flooded out, they shut them down.
Yeah.
So maybe should store some gas.
Right.
So a hurricane in Texas is affecting people in North Carolina. Isn't that crazy?
It is.
We haven't got the rain yet. And not only that, we did get the rain. It went through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Where I was at, we got tornadoes and everything because I was there for the wedding.
Okay.
And so we had tornadoes.
That wasn't a sign from God? No.
Yeah, no. It was literally in the town I was at. Tornado touched down right where I was heading.
Wow.
Toward.
Sweet.
So, and there you are, and I'm like, you know.
And so we got Irma. Is that the right?
Yeah,
Irma coming up. And I read an article that Irma is a perfectly lined hurricane that could be a Hurricane 6. I'm like, there's not even a Hurricane 6. I think that it was just arguing the fact that it's perfectly aligned to be a huge hurricane.
Yeah. Where's it at now?
And it's coming.
How far out is it?
And it's supposed to hit land. Well, they don't know. It's too far out to really predict, but
yeah. They
said it could hit land like next Monday or something, which kind of ticks me off because next weekend I got some big plans in the mountains, and I don't want it to be raining at prepper camp.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh,
so, but I don't know. So we'll see. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, what do you have next on your list? I've got a you know what? Go ahead.
I was going to talk about the filter because okay. I brought that up to you, thinking that through. The water filters, especially there in Houston, it got to a point where I think they did the water ban or whatever.
Right. You can't drink the water.
You can't drink the water.
Even if you filter it with a Sawyer, the best filter in the world.
Yeah. Exactly. And so because of toxins.
Right.
Especially there because of the oil refineries and so mm-hmm. forth, that was an issue. And so... And so that was other things they had to deal with, all these little health scares and so forth. But, okay, so we can't filter. So what can we do?
Right. The only way that you can drink water that has chemicals or like salt, because salt is, I mean, it just blend, is you've got to, what's that process called? Desalinization. Is that right?
Yeah, distilled water.
Distilled water. You got to actually boil the water, and it has to create a steam, and it can't touch, and then it drips down, and that's the only way. And they have, like, this dude, Glenn, I don't forget his name. He sells this solar steel kind of, not a solar steel, but when you put on a pot and boil it, but that's the only way to really get chemicals out is to do that, is to boil it and capture the steam, just like moonshining. That's the only way to really get the chemicals out, because boiling doesn't work. A filter system doesn't work. Even if you do like a charcoal filter, it doesn't work very well on that. Wouldn't trust that.
Yeah.
So,
I was looking for.
Oh, and again, you were looking for what? Oh,
the leader?
Yeah, that's him. What's his name?
Is it?
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, it's called a survival sit still. And man, if you hadn't got an invite to that, to watch his little video, you have not been on the internet. Because every other website is, he's doing some kind of seminar. He does a lot of them.
Yeah.
So,
that's pretty cool.
That's the only way. Or have bottled water or save water already stored.
Yeah. Just not from China.
Just not for China. Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break. I think G-Man's in the studio. We have to pay for this somehow. So, we got some commercials coming your way. What does that forget? What Rush Limbaugh says. It's always hilarious. But anyway, hey, we'll be right back after these messages.
Do not buy emergency food until you compare Legacy Food Storage. You already know you need an emergency food supply. Legacy wants to ensure that you get higher quality, longer shelf life, better tasting non-GMO freeze-dried food. And Legacy gives you up double food for your money. There's a huge secret our competitors don't want you to know. Never compare food storage based on cost per serving, because serving sizes vary. Compare based on the weight of the food. Legacy gives up to double the food for your budget. Visit LegacyFoodStorage.com. That's LegacyFoodStorage.com. Use coupon code PREPPER to save 15% on your order. When disaster strikes and your GPS is useless, ancient navigation techniques will ensure your survival. New from Ulysses Press, Prepper's Survival Navigation. With this guide, you can easily travel through even the farthest, remotest places, utilizing tips from the United States Army and lifelong wilderness experts. you'll learn life-saving navigation techniques. This definitive guide to terrain navigation also teaches you essential survival skills like firecraft, water procurement, and shelter making. Prepper's survival navigation is essential to have on hand during any outdoor adventure, including the weekend family outing. On sale now. Find Prepper's survival navigation on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Prepper Broadcasting, or wherever fine books are sold.
We have exciting news. You can now afford to have your own freeze dryer. That's right, for the first time ever, it's possible to have a freeze dryer in your home. It was invented right here in America by Harvestrite. With this new appliance, you can freeze dry your own food and it will last 25 years. Imagine freeze drying fruit, vegetables, meat, and your own homemade meals. It's as easy to use as a microwave. Learn more about this amazing home freeze dryer at harvestrite.com. Again, that's harvestrite.com.
Hi, Joe Alton, MD here of the survival medicine website doomandbloom.net. Have you experienced the joy that comes with helping the elderly? Well, make an old man, that's me, very happy, and your family medically prepared by getting a copy of the Survival Medicine Handbook, the essential guide for when help is not on the way. It's got the information you'll need to stay healthy in tough times, and best of all, it's written in plain English. Make the Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your library by going to doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
That must be it. Hey, guys, we are back at the Prepping Academy. Hey, visit our website at preppingacademy.com, preppingacademy.com. You can find all kinds of free – well, actually, we don't have anything free. But you can go and join – go and visit. Join our mailing list where – actually, I really never even send out mailers. I don't. Maybe two or three. Just go and look. You can listen to archive shows or whatever. So I got so many things going on. I mean,
yeah,
I should update it, but you can contact me. I do reply to most of my emails. If it's negative, they're all negative. So that's okay. I mean, that's what we get for mediocrity. You know,
I got your name now.
You got my name.
I'm Tenderfoot. You're Tenderheart.
No, you go. Tenderfart. What? Dude. So, but yeah, check us out, preppingacademy.com. You know, I didn't mention this at the top of the hour, but we do have big prepper camp coming up. We'll end with talking about prepper camp, but man, I can't wait. That's in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's like the mecca. That's like the mecca of preppers on the East Coast.
It'll be a good one this year.
Be 1,000 people going to Salute, North Carolina. It'll be fun. I'm teaching two classes, but it's kind of a 101 and a 102 class. So have you been to my spy class?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a spy class. You're going to become James Bond when you finish. Literally, I give you a card that says James Bond. No. you have a license to kill animals. So, okay. So tonight we're talking about hurricane preparedness, things you need to do, things that people have done wrong, things people have done right. But you were going to bring up an article that was posted by someone on our Facebook page. This is in the Carolina Preppers Network Facebook page.
Yes.
And I haven't read it yet, but I did see that it was posted. And so I'm going to trust you and what you
it really was a good perspective, a good story on this grocery store chain. It's the largest grocery store chain in Texas, HEB. And it says the header of it, it's on LinkedIn, I suppose. Yeah.
Yep.
Make sure that's not an ad. So the inside story of what it took to keep a Texas grocery chain running in the chaos of Hurricane Harvey. And so I read through it and what they did and just the heart behind that and how they prepared and they got ahead of the eight ball. And that is how we should think.
So like they ordered food and water and stuff before the hurricane came extra or what?
Yeah. As it was coming, they knew. He already knew. He said, look, I know what's important. We don't need flowers. So he used that space to get, okay, I'm going to get more water. I'm going to get toilet paper. I'm going to get all these essentials they're going to want at first. And then he already had a plan for, okay, now after we get past so many days, now they're going to want this. He already knew.
Then they're going to want cleaning supplies.
Cleaning supply, yes.
And things like that.
They gave it a name. I never
heard. Oh, dude, I just made that up. And yeah. It was in there. Sweet.
It really, yeah. And so they talked about that. And he does his own commercials. So everybody knew his face. So he was able to make things happen. And so they even faked it until they made it kind of thing. So they had police lines. Okay, you can't pass. You can't get back in. You can't go here. But he wanted to get the food and supplies. So he made up a letter with a letterhead, his picture on it or whatever, and he signed it. He gave that to the people. They drove whatever they could because just to get the supply to where they had to get it.
Right.
And they showed that letterhead, and they just let him pass. They're like, yeah, oh, yeah, okay, we'll let you – well, I guess you can go. And so the way to do that, the thought behind it, he said, I'm going to dare to take these risks and try to make it happen. I think he didn't want to get any of this stuff to go to waste or something as well. So, yeah, it was just a very interesting story and how he dealt with that.
But he jacked the prices up, didn't he?
Does not say that. There was somewhere.
I'm just kidding. I'm sure he didn't. He'd get in trouble. But it'd been bad press if he'd have done that.
Oh, well, check this out. Okay. They have a picture of. It says HEB, disaster relief, helping our neighbors and need it. It's a big trailer. And so I don't even know what that was, but they don't even talk about that. I don't know if he's got his own trailer or some way to help people. But.
You know, that's a good story. I mean, the community supports the grocery store and they make millions, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So in a time of trouble, I mean, it is his duty, I think, in a sense, to do things like that, to be prepared. He was more prepared than a lot of people. He had, when you wanted toilet paper, he had it.
Yeah.
Other grocery stores probably didn't have it.
And what amazed me is he would do it like he only had 5 people per store or something.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to make that stuff happen.
Right.
And so there's no excuse.
Then you got to take care of your employees. Yeah, that's good. Awesome.
And so I think that's what he did talk about that. He said, they don't know where to go. So they're going to go where? To a grocery store, the regular person.
Right.
That has not.
Do they put limits? I would think that they would put limits on people as they bought stuff.
It doesn't say in this article, but I would assume so.
Yeah, because your family only needs many rolls of toilet paper in the next month. You know
what I mean? Like I said, I'm from the East Coast of North Carolina, and they would have limits. Like you could come by the IGA or Piggly Wiggly. You can get your 3 cases of water and that was it.
You use IGA and Piggly Wiggly of all the grocery stores around. That's the only two. You couldn't come up with big ones like Publix or Harris Teeter or Milo or Food Line. That is hilarious. So I saw a guy, he owned a furniture store. Did you see this guy? Millions of dollars of furniture, millions and millions of dollars of furniture, big showroom, huge showroom. Like, I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
He invited everyone to come in and just make house on the bed. One lady was sitting on an $8,000 couch.
Wow.
Had her whole family and they got this little corner. So that every in their whole showroom, all these beds and he had them all people just coming in.
Wow.
Man. And that was pretty cool. I mean, that was a good story.
Yeah, it is.
And he's going to make millions after this because everybody's going to love him for doing that. And the press, I mean, it's crazy.
But I don't think that's the heart behind why they do it. It's because, hey, this, we're going to get
It would be my heart.
But
I'm going to make millions.
But when you help people, it's going to help you.
Right.
It's just going to come back.
Okay, so one of the things I want to talk about – you mentioned something about this letter that got people past like a roadblock or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So in my spy class that I teach, I teach people on how to get a press pass.
Oh, yeah.
And you actually have press credentials.
Yeah.
In your hand that you can show. So I saw 3 times on the news, CNN I was watching once and Fox News I was watching once, that the actual reporter said, or the person said, we couldn't go past that, but they allowed the press to go back there, and the press then told us how our house was doing.
Yeah.
So because they had press credentials, they got past a roadblock where other people couldn't. And that was that's the whole idea in my spy class of getting people to get that badge and that letter saying that you're part of the press, because it can give you advantages at times.
Yes.
Public safety officers, firemen, police officers treat you different if you show that. I'm just saying. And that's one of the things I teach in my spy class.
Yeah. And it's a good perspective. It's looking at it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do.
So one of the things I want to talk about is a communication plan. Again, you better have a family emergency plan. But in that, okay, so the storm's hitting Texas. It's hitting the first thing to happen is the phone systems get overloaded. Why? Telephone service is run by servers, probably PC-based kind of server.
Yeah.
And they get overwhelmed. It's not that the towers can't transmit so much information. It's that all of it bottlenecks at a server or servers, and it just can't get the information. You get the busy signal. You can't make a phone call.
Right.
And until people stop trying to do it, it stays jammed. So the next step you should go to if you can't make a phone call is to try to text message someone, or actually email. Or text message, because they use completely different servers. So you might not be able to surf the web. You might not be able to make a phone call, but you may be able to send an email or a text message out, because they use different bandwidth on the internet. Then there's even things like Zello. Zello uses plain data, and it's like peer-to-peer. So you're not going through any server, in a sense, except a DNS server, which probably could handle the traffic. And it's me talking audio to you. It's like a radio. You familiar with Zello?
Yes.
And so that is like the base common denominator. You're using no major equipment. That should still work in most disasters. But you got to have your family on there. You got to practice it. You got to use it.
Right.
Then if that doesn't work, you can go to radios. I mean, how else are you going to communicate? Your house is flooding. You're on the roof. You should have some kind of communication. I mean, thank goodness some ladies got out on Facebook. They did Facebook Live, I think. And they were showing people in the home.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you should ham radio. I mean, get you a cheap ham radio. I would suggest you become a ham operator. Get your license, but in an emergency, you don't have to have your license, but you got to know how to use them. And if you think you're going to pick up a ham radio and know how to use it, you're wrong. I mean, it takes training to use a radio to transmit. People think you can just go to a frequency. It doesn't work like that. You got to get trained. But, and so I suggest everyone get you a $35 ham radio off of Amazon or your local prepper store. And learn how to use it. And get your technician license. At least, minimum. So, but communications is key. You've got to have a way to communicate with others or you could die.
You could.
You could.
Definitely.
If you don't, and if the phone system, just imagine if Facebook wasn't working and the phone system was jammed at the time these ladies, some of them were wheelchair bound. And they just can't get up and swim.
Well, I mean, that's what this guy did in this article with the CEO here at HEB. I mean, they created a communication plan and what he was going to do. And he thought that through. And, you know, you had a chain of command also. So he was in charge of that. He knew what had to happen, mm-hmm. what he wanted to do. And so without that communication, it also helped others.
Right.
And so it goes beyond you.
Right.
So to have that communication.
Yeah, there's a time that you've got to think about others. Because the perfect case scenario is you've got plans that you've practiced. You've got provisions that you've set up. And you've got and you know how to execute your plan, that all of a sudden others can benefit from that. Meaning you might be able to help your neighbor out. You might be able to then go out and help others out because you've already taken care of your family. You have already had a plan. That's the perfect case scenario. If more people were prepared, a lot more people could be helping. A lot more people wouldn't be in, you know, a situation like they're in. So, another thing is kind of interesting is no matter where you need to have a go-to person. All your friends and family, it could be your church. It could be, but not, you couldn't be your church. So let's say I have family members all over the United States. If something was to happen in any area of the United States, we have one person everyone calls. So I'm just going to throw out, it's my mother. Let's say it's my mother. So if anything happens, everyone calls mother. We're not trying to call. I'm not trying to call my brother. I'm calling my mom and saying, hey, has my brother called? Because that's our first point of contact. So if everyone goes to that one contact, we're not here, you know, we don't have to, there's no reason for my brother to talk to my mom and to me and my sister and everyone else. You just tell one person, that person's in safety, you know, I don't know. That's, you know what I mean?
Almost
like a phone tree almost.
Phone tree, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
But yeah, you got to have that plan though.
Yes.
Because you're in a shelter because you got evacuated and there's one phone or someone has a cell phone and they let you use and you don't know anyone's number. You just got to have a plan.
Yeah.
Makes me mad.
Well, something you said too with that, you know, getting your tech license and so forth, that brings up that you got to have skills too.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that, you know, and this is also a good time. This is for everybody right now, especially, okay. They're looking for helping hands. They need people on the ground there with helping with disaster relief and recovery and whatnot. This is a time for you that you can learn a skill. That was one of the things I've done. I've done disaster relief through church. And we went all over, you know, the U.S., different places, different disasters. And so you're learning different skills through different disasters, and you learn how to communicate through that because they have effective communication. So,
without skills, you're useless.
That's right. Yeah. 'Cause that you can carry that with you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. You can't carry, we'll talk about maybe some other time, another show, but there's things you can't carry overseas or to somewhere else,
yep.
But you can always carry your skills.
Yep. If you're in a shelter, your money means very little to them.
Yes.
A lot of people, I got money. Skills mean everything. And one of my survival group talk I do a lot, if you have no skills, you're useless in a grid down. You're absolutely useless to me. I don't need any more helping hands. I need skills.
Yep.
And if you're listening to this, you better have skills. I mean, you're listening to a prepper academy. I mean, that's what we're all about, is getting people motivated to get skills. And skills and knowledge, people can't take from you.
Right.
So if you were in that situation, you had to leave everything behind and you go to a shelter, there's skills on maybe things that you would, okay, this water might not be safe, or I need to, I mean, there's skills that just, with skills you can survive.
Yeah.
Without skills, a lot of times you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Even swimming skills. I mean, seriously. I have friends and family members that can't swim, and I'm like, are you kidding? Take some swimming. I mean, that's a lifesaver. I mean, the Earth is what, 80% water?
Well,
I mean,
it always drove me crazy that there were people in the Navy that did not know how to swim, and that
is crazy.
Crazy.
That is crazy. I got that life vest.
They knew just enough to get past whatever qual they had.
Right.
To get past.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
That is crazy. But skills and knowledge is king.
Yeah.
Cash is not king in a disaster. Not unless you can pay someone to take you out of there. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't even know if that would.
In some cases, yeah. I don't know.
Hey, I do have to say that FEMA and the government are doing better. Well, that's, I mean, but I remember Sandy, they were handing out hot chocolate and coffee, and people needed blankets and water and, you know, and food. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So at least they've gotten better, and they're bragging about it too. I mean, on all the television stations, everybody's saying they're doing better. But, you know, you would think after, I mean, hurricanes aren't new. I mean, there's got to be a model that you could put the size of the hurricane and where it's going to hit and predict what's going to happen. You know what I mean? We're going to have to evacuate all these people because we know the elevation of every single house. We know the predicted rainfall of a hurricane, you know, and you could, I mean, it seems like these models can be built with our computers and how we've advanced so much. We could go, okay, we've got to evacuate. This is a bigger storm. We're predicting this much rain. You know, this is the area we've got to get these guys out of there.
Yeah.
Maybe they do that, but people don't listen.
Well, I mean, I think another thing is to the National Guard listening to that and how they and learning from them how they organize and stuff. They were talking the other night, and just the words, I'm sorry I didn't write it down, but just they were talking about being ahead of it and knowing what to do. And basically they were looking at the hurricane like they would an enemy on the ground. And so they knew where to be and what to do. And I think this was out of Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
So they were, obviously they had once bit, twice shy kind of
right.
thing. And so, just hearing that guy talk, and he was giving useful information
right
there for you to go and take and go further and learn from it. So,
hey guys, I think the message from this show is, hey, get skills, get a plan. If you know, if you're in a tornado alley, get a plan for a tornado. If you're near a hurricane, get a plan. I mean, if you're in Hurricane Alley or on the on the coast. But, I mean, there's a lot of information out there, and it's just really waiting for you to learn it. I mean, it's YouTube University.
Right.
But real quickly, because we only have like 3 minutes left. Not this weekend, but next weekend, we're going to Prepper Camp. Preppercamp.com. This is the mecca of all preppers, man. And I am so excited about that. Today I had my tent out. I had my gear out. I had my sun oven. I mean, I was getting everything prepared to go to Prepper Camp. And you and your whole family go, right?
Yes.
Yeah, my family don't go. But they're still in school, and they just don't go. They're not anti-prepping by any means. They are, but they know that if I'm there, and you know how busy I'm going to be, and I am.
Yeah.
They just won't see me much. And then they'll get mad, and that never works out with anyone because, you know, I'm teaching, and there's just a lot of things going to be going on that weekend. I'm going to be interviewing people and recording it. But I'm so excited about it. We got a bunch of people going, too. On Friday night, we're having a big meeting, annual meeting of the Carolina Preppers Network. There's going to be thousands, I mean hundreds, tens. of people there, and I can't wait to some of these people. I mean, we got 4,000, almost 4,000 members in the Carolina Preppers Network. I haven't met but maybe 5% of them, so I'm hoping a lot of them will come and I'll meet them. So, I'm looking forward to that. But that's in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's right around the corner.
Yeah, I'm taking my sun oven. I'm going to put it out, and so I'm all excited. I'm planning big time. Also planning on maybe getting a hotel because it may be raining.
Yeah, you're right. Be prepared, guys.
I know, and you know, and teaching a class and running Friday night's meeting, I just might need my sleep.
Yeah.
And not bother with the water. I mean, just saying. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
Then not that I'm a wimp.
It's a good time for everybody to work on their fire making skills in rain. There you go.
Yeah. So, hey, Travis. I mean, oh my gosh, I said your name. But that's it last time.
Yeah, well, you already said it twice.
I did that today? Oh, my. Tenderfoot, code name. thanks for being on the show. I think you can come on next week as well.
Yep.
We're going to do another one on traveling and how to be a prepper and what to do on travel when you travel. But thanks for being on the show, man.
Yeah, it's
awesome. See you. We see each other at church, and then you come here and you just go off on some stuff, man. That's awesome. Hey, guys, join us at preppingacademy.com, preppingacademy.com. Hey, if you know, this goes into a podcast, that's probably the way you're listening to it. Guys, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate your feedback. You can go to preppingacademy.com and leave us some feedback. And we do this every Monday night, if you're listening, every Monday night live at prepperbroadcasting.com at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. So, hey, appreciate it, and we will see you guys next week.
See ya.
Thanks so much for listening to the Prepping Academy with your hosts, Forrest and Kyle, live on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Prepper Broadcast Network at prepperbroadcasting.com. We'll catch you next time on the Prepping Academy.
Today's broadcast has come to you through the courtesy of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. See our hosts, show schedules, archive programs, and more at prepperbroadcasting.com. Thanks for listening.
Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at PrepperNet.com.